Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Triple Jump Podcast. It's a video game podcast. My name is Ben.
And my name is Peter.
Peter, where are you?
I'm in the countryside somewhere. Am I coming through clear? Hello?
I can hear you. There's an awful lot of trees on the line.
Yeah.
A lot of nature. I'm in my flat in Newcastle. Mm-hmm. Just hiding out.
Yeah.
Just hiding out. Hey, remember a couple of episodes ago where we said, hey, just be wary of what the media is telling you, okay? Make sure you wash your hands and things will be okay.
To be fair,
I don't think we were saying that this was never going to get any worse. I think we were just saying, just be wary of misinformation.
Just stop panicking and stop panic buying, which is still, like, good advice, even though things are definitely worse than they were. People should still try and be considerate. So, yeah, I don't take back anything we said, but I add to it and say, okay, this is quite bad now.
Yeah, it is pretty bad. Yeah. As many of you will have noticed, we're not here. You're just looking at a JPEG. What should we have as the JPEG that plays throughout this episode, do you think?
Oh, I mean, the go-to is the piggyback image, isn't it?
Yeah, I suppose so. Let's do that.
But it doesn't fill a 16:9 very well, so I don't know.
What if I cut it out into a PNG, put a nice Windows Vista hill, Windows Vista, Windows XP hill in the background, and I keyframe animate it so across the hour or so of this episode, we slowly travel from the left of the screen to the right of the screen.
Wow, that's great. People will know how long the podcast has got left to do. I mean, they would be able to just look at the video progress bar, but that's boring. That's
rubbish.
So 20th century.
So we'll try and make it a little bit more dynamic. Maybe every week that we record these podcasts from home, we'll be traveling across a different environment.
Yeah.
Where will we go next?
Who's
to say? Absolute mystery. And that's why you should still watch the video version.
We might not be able to travel around the world and enjoy, you know, international jaunts, but we can do it digitally.
Yeah. Piggyback Ben and Peter can do it.
Yeah.
They can go wherever they want. So, yes, things are going to be a little different for a while as they are for everyone. We're going to endeavor to bring you all of the usual stuff that you normally expect. Lists should still be going out because our wonderful freelancers are home-based anyway. Mm-hmm. Podcasts can be recorded remotely. Streams will hopefully be a little more regular because we want to try and give you, you know, a little bit more entertainment, and it'll give us something to do in the evenings at home and so on.
Yeah.
And the only thing that may be affected is Worst Games Ever, which we'll talk probably a little more detail about at the end of the show, just going into what our plan is for that. But at least for the next couple of weeks, the next couple of episodes of Worst Games Ever, you will still be getting one.
For sure. Yeah.
It is happening. Right. With that out of the way,
yeah,
I think it's time to talk about a sponsor.
Right. Hit me.
I can't. Okay. Did you know that this podcast is sponsored by a brand new company or game or entity every single episode? And for some reason, we can't hold on to the sponsor, so it's different every time. This week, it's Aperture Laboratories Alcoholic Hand Gel.
Very, very good. Very pleased with that.
Is
there a world shortage of it? Or
no, there's plenty to go around.
Good.
All you have to do is sort of offer yourself up as a test subject at the neighboring Aperture Science Institute and just have to run a few tests. That's all. There's no potential death at all. You know, it's all totally safe.
There will be
and
cake.
At the end of it, you get the cake, yeah. And at the end of it, you also get some alcoholic hand gel.
Fantastic.
And make sure you apply it liberally, even though it's not as effective as washing your hands with soap and water. And then, you know, crack all your hands up because, you know, skin's all dry.
Yeah. That's not even, like, as much of a ridiculous pun as it sounds, because in Portal 2, they did actually have all those gels, didn't they? You know, the, like, I can't remember what they called them, like, mobility gel and, like... You know, there was like the one that made you run fast and the one that made you jump.
Oh boy. Yeah, there was. There was. I liked all of them. We played, we did a whole playthrough of Portal 2 on the live stream last year.
Yeah.
And go watch that on the YouTube channel. However, I'm afraid to report that alcoholic hand gel is a lie.
Oh, come on.
You idiot. You may be locked in your home, but you're feeling stupid. I bet you're glad no one else can see you right. I bet you're glad, Os, no one else can see you right now looking all bashful because you're a big, silly idiot. You fell for my trap and my ruse.
All right, don't overdo it. Calm down.
You blithering fool.
No,
I'll kill you.
Please.
I'll kill... Okay. Of course, this isn't sponsored by Alcoholic Hand Gel. It's actually sponsored by our wonderful patrons over at patreon.com/TeamTripleJump, where for any amount of money, you can ask questions for this podcast. What's the first question?
The first question comes from Ethan Lawrence, two first names. Given the current situation, short for situation, which saves time when you type, it says in brackets, which he typed out. what's your sick day game? The game or games you can mainline for those days when you're too ill to concentrate properly, but need stimulation. Cheers, buddies, and stay safe and well. Kiss, kiss, kiss.
Kiss, kiss, kiss.
Kiss, kiss, kiss.
I would also like to thank the multiple people who asked similar questions about what our quarantine games are
yeah.
and so on. We are, of course, all working from home now at the Cultaholic offices.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where we are for the foreseeable. Now, I don't know about you, Peter, but for me, I don't have any more time to play games than I would have otherwise.
No.
I'm still working from home.
I've actually had less time. When we get to what we play in, you may discover that the only thing I've played since last time is my live stream games, which, I mean, that's not an unfamiliar situation anyway, but certainly I've been very busy packing up and then unpacking and setting up that, like, definitely for the last 2 or 3 days, I've played nothing. I've not played any quarantine games so far. Basically,
right?
Yeah.
Hey, that's fair enough, man. Like, yeah. I've worked from home now for 3 days. This is my fourth day, and each evening I've thought, can I actually be bothered to sit in front of another screen in the same room?
Yeah.
No, actually, I can't. I just want to lie down.
Mm.
That's enough. So I'm hoping this will change.
Yeah.
As we get more accustomed to working from home, but certainly for now, the novelty of sitting on the sofa and playing games isn't really there.
No.
So I've played a few things, but this is since the last show, mainly over the weekend.
Right, yeah.
I've just been sort of, I streamed a game, as you did, and then I played maybe an hour of something else all week, and that's it.
I do still have an answer in terms of what...
Yes, me too.
Yeah.
I just wanted people to know how bad we've got it.
Right, sure. Yeah. So if, for me... because I, as you say, as we both said, you know, I'm not at the moment feeling like I actually want to dedicate much time to a game. The one that I have in mind, ATM, is one that doesn't have a narrative that I have to follow, so I can just pick it up and drop it whenever I need to, which is Orcs Must Die and Orcs Must Die 2, which I think I've mentioned on previous podcasts now and then, because it is an old favourite of mine. I know it's not super mainstream. People will know about it, but it's not, you know, it's not a AAA title. But it's, I believe, only available on Steam and PC, possibly on Mac. But it is a tower defense game set in a sort of almost stereotypical fantasy world where orcs look exactly like you would expect them to. And all the buildings are just medieval fantasy buildings. And, you know, it's that kind of thing. There's magic and monsters. But it's sort of cartoony. You place down your towers along a path, of course, that the enemy are advancing along. But then once you place those towers down, it's not just like, you know, something like Plants vs. Zombies where the towers are then going to do all the work. Like, you are also a third-person character. So you're running around with a crossbow or like a hammer. You're doing spells. You're able to like put new towers down on the fly in the middle of a wave and stuff like that. So, you know, you're shooting as well as letting all your towers do their work. So I find it super fun. I find it very visceral and quite satisfying when you get a really good choke point and there's just loads of blades and arrows just going mad on a single tile and just destroying loads and loads of people all at once. So it's a very satisfying game. And it's just, as I say, it's very easy to pick up and put down as and when. So that's probably what I'd like to play. And I might even do some streams of it from here.
Yeah. Nice. Are you able to do mad stunts on your pedal bike in it?
You can't do a flip, but you could probably jump off like a high balcony. So
the
orcs can do mad stunts on their pedal bikes because there are some physics based traps that you can put down, like wall pushers and flippers and things. So yeah, amazing. It's like Robot Wars, as my old dad used to say. Something about coronavirus, probably.
Probably, yeah. Probably did. When was the last time you played it? Because I know you've said you've played a lot of this in the past.
Yeah, I played it a lot at uni, and it probably nearly cost me my degree. But since then, I've probably not played it that much. I may have played it a little bit in Newcastle, maybe sort of in the What Culture days. I might have played a little bit of it at home. Probably not, actually. I don't think I would have done, because my computer was set up in a bit of a dead room that we didn't really go into, where the accident happened.
Oh, no, not the accident.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Maybe it's not since uni that I've properly played it. But, yeah, so I'm quite looking forward to giving it a go if I can get it streamable and if my net is good enough.
It's always nice to go back to a game after a long break, one that you really enjoyed.
And there's two of them as well. So I can just, if I wanted to really stretch it out, I could start from one and go all the way through the two. Well, there's more than two, actually. But the third one is, it became a bit of a MOBA and it's like, it's not even called Orcs Must Die 3. I think they're talking about doing a proper Orcs Must Die 3, but it's called Orcs Must Die Unchained. And it's like a multiplayer thing. Ugh, it's not what I wanted. So
getting on those trends, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
When's the Orc Must Die zombie survival mode coming out?
Well, I'm not even... Yeah, that's not even a joke almost. Like, when are they bringing out the... what do you call it? The Battle Royale, you know?
Yeah.
It's coming. They could do. Probably.
They could do. I'm just thinking about all those orcs you've killed.
Yeah.
It's a lot of orcs, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Do they really have to die?
Yeah, they must. They must die.
Okay.
Yeah, orcs must die.
I trust you. You played anything else?
Not that, like, immediately springs to mind. I mean, like, there's nothing else that makes me think of, you know, like, oh, this is what I would play on a sick day. Like, I would just play whatever I wanted to play on that day. Like, you know, there's nothing with a special quality about it that's like, yeah, this is good for a sick day versus, like, you know, another game. So, you know, just the usual, right. Like, maybe revisit. I mean, I've not finished my Spyro 2 revisit.
Yep.
So I'll carry on with that, stuff like that. We're kind of doing what we're playing on, or what we're going to be playing we're doing right now.
What will we be playing?
This is a groundbreaking section.
I would say that people should give third-person adventure games a go. Big... Yeah. Budget, certainly that in the PlayStation exclusive pantheon. If you've not played The Last of Us, if you've not played God of War, Horizon Zero Dawn, which obviously is coming to PC very soon, that sort of thing, you know, your big Assassin's Creed games, the recent ones, just something with that's got a good story that you can get really invested in and let it carry you away to a land of mystery and wonder.
Yeah.
I feel like now's the time to really get stuck into one of those. Or alternatively, if you're feeling a little bit lonesome, perhaps a more social game.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you've got a group of like-minded friends, perhaps play through Borderlands in co-op. Why not?
Yeah.
Or hop onto that Call of Duty Warzone and get annoyed in a battle royale.
Yeah.
Because all the teenagers are killing you because they're off school now.
They are. Or the mince raft. Hop aboard the mince raft.
The mince raft. Everybody hop on board and build your own mince raft.
Mm.
All sorts of options. But that's what I would recommend. Something that you can get lost in, or something that will keep you talking to people.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I think.
Okay. Well, it's good advice.
It's time to move on to a groundbreaking segment that we call Wawapur. It's time for What We Play In.
True.
Peter, What We Play In.
We've been playing some games. I have just thought of another game, actually, having given the answer to the previous question. So it's not just Halo Combat Evolved Anniversary, which is the game that I've been streaming. We've nearly finished it. I've got like half of the penultimate level left. And then I think, yeah, I'm pretty sure there's only one level after it, which is quite a long one. But yeah, it's good. I've been enjoying it. I felt to an extent like it's turned out to be slightly less stream friendly than I thought. You know, it's a game that I think relies a bit more on its story than its gameplay. You know, some of the levels are actually just a bit of a grind. Still really like it, but it's just I've got a lot of happy memories of Halo 3, which I think is a bit more of a spectacle. You know, it's a little bit more like, in a very different way, but it's a bit more like playing something like Uncharted, in that there's always something new and exciting going on. There's like vehicles driving around and blowing up and things like that. And there's definitely vehicle combat and stuff in Halo 1, but really what it relies more on in Halo 1 is telling an interesting story and then just kind of filling the gaps with lots of shooting and similar rooms. So, you know, it's people seem to be enjoying it, which is really good. And it means we're on a good footing now for me to play the other two games in the trilogy when they come out, hopefully, if people are still interested. But yeah, I'm looking forward to Halo 3 in particular, because that is one of my favorite games. And I sank so much time into the multiplayer as well back in the day. So,
nice.
But yeah, Halo Combat Evolved. The other thing I have actually played since the last podcast is one session of that Spyro 2 redo that I've been doing just for fun. So I'm in Autumn Plains, the second of the three worlds. I've done Trouble with the Trolley, eh?
Oh, God.
In fact, the most annoying thing happened. I hopped on the trolley, and there's 50 gears to collect without crashing. And I normally like die a couple of times on it, but I got all the way through it without dying. And then on the last gear, I could see it just ahead of me. This crane just came and dropped a TNT right in front of me, and I blew up. I had to start all over again. Trouble with the trolley.
Almost so. Like you're not supposed to be able to do it on your first try.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
The timing forces you into that situation.
Yeah, pretty much.
That sucks.
So yeah, I still think like playing that game. I kind of prefer the original Spyro 2. I think like some of the charm has been lost in the remaster. Like in some ways it looks a lot better, but in other ways, you know, they've kind of not censored
butchered
things,
it.
But yeah, butchered it to a certain extent.
They changed the monks don't chant anymore, do they?
Well, yeah, they just
Why
do a different.
Yeah,
they just sort of go whoa.
Which not is, as fun.
No, it's not as fun at all. There's actually a mod, a PC mod, that just puts "yio" back into the game. And the skeleton in Skelos Badlands just constantly flosses now, which is
Which is already dated.
Yeah, I know.
Already,
well,
it's been a year
who
and a
made
half.
That decision? It might as well have been doing the flipping Harlem Shake, like
oh god, or Gangnam Style.
Gangnam Style, yeah.
Perfect. In fact, I think it's reached the point now where Gangnam Style would be ironically funny.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, it would be funny if it was doing Gangnam Style. You'd be like, oh, yeah, yeah. But
remember
the floss
that?
Just looks really stale now.
Yeah. Rubbish.
But yeah, overall, I'm still really enjoying it. It's a good game.
Good. I'm glad.
What are you playing, Ben?
Well, I streamed a bit more of Bioshock. On my janky ass home setup, you should have seen it. It was just Spaghetti Junction for wires. I had a pair of headphones for the PS4. I had a pair of headphones for the PC. So if people donated, I had to pick up the other pair of headphones so I could hear it.
Oh, gosh.
I don't have, you know, an audio splitter like we do at work. So I can't hear the game audio and the PC audio through my headphones.
Yeah.
So I've got a way for that to work. But, you know, just hopped into Bioshock. We had the big twist. I think it'll probably be finished next time I stream it. But I think the next stream I do will maybe be something a little different.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking of going back to SmackDown Here Comes the Pain, which is one of my, not only one of my not only my favorite wrestling game, mm-hmm. but one of my favorite games full stop.
Wow.
I've played it so much on the PlayStation 2 back in the day. This was actually the game I talked about before where the disc was all scratched and I used T-Cut. You used to fix car scratches.
Yeah.
And now it works fine. So I think I might emulate that on PC, and that will be obviously way easier to get all the audio through my headphones that way. But I might do that. I also discovered, because I don't know why I didn't make this connection in my head beforehand, but I thought, well, I've got the PS4 camera plugged into the PS4. I'll just use that camera and then output it through the PC and stream that. Perfect. Mm-hmm. And then I just put the overlay over the top. Easy peasy. Of course, failing to realize that the camera only appears over the top of your gameplay if you are actually streaming directly from the PS4.
Right.
If you're just outputting it to the PC, you're just outputting the game. You're not outputting you as well. Mm. So then I was like, oh God, I don't have any kind of camera. Oh wait, yes I do. My PS3 PlayStation Eye. The one that I use for playing PlayStation Move. Mm-hmm. We did it with Mel B. It's really, really low quality, but it is a USB microphone. So it looks like I'm in 2008 using a webcam on MSN.
But if you're playing SmackDown Here Comes the Pain, then hey, perfect, right?
It would be perfect. I've made custom overlays now.
Oh, yeah.
Where it says blurry cam. People know that they're not going insane.
Yeah.
It's all a bit janky, but it's good fun. Mm. And I will be streaming some more, hopefully playing something other than Bioshock. Apart from that, I played a couple of games of COD Warzone, Call of Duty Warzone, the Battle Royale.
Yeah.
It's good. Mm-hmm. It's good. You know, it's free. I probably haven't played it enough to get really mad at it. You can have squads of three. I think you can now do solos as well, so you can play on your own.
Right.
As a lone wolf. Mm-hmm. It's like 120 players or something like that. Quite a big map. Usual Battle Royale rules apply. If you played Blackout, the Battle Royale mode from Black Ops 4 in 2018, which I played a lot of and I really enjoyed it, then you'll be able to pick this up quite fast because a lot of similar principles apply. It's strange, though, because it seems that they make you download the full file for Call of Duty Modern Warfare just to play the Battle Royale because it clearly runs off the same engine or whatever, but I don't understand why they couldn't just release the Battle Royale on its own.
Right, yeah.
Because it was making you do that thing that it does on PS4 where it lets you download the first portion of the game and then mm-hmm. you can start it up, but you still are downloading the rest. But when you start it up, you can't do anything. It just takes you to a menu that lets you change your settings and buy Call of Duty Modern Warfare if you want.
Brilliant. Just what I want to do while I'm waiting for my game to download. Change the settings.
It's very exciting. You also get to play what you would call it, some sort of training mode. Mm. But it's not training for the Battle Royale. It's just a 1v1 against a bot in a tiny map. It's so weird. I don't. It's bizarre. Anyway, it's free and a lot of people are playing that and it's good fun. So
nice.
That's good. The last thing, I thought, thematically appropriate, let's play The Last of Us. Why not?
Yeah, I saw your screenshot on Twitter.
Yes, there's toilet roll in The Last of Us.
Yeah.
And it's a very good game, The Last of Us. I don't know if you knew that. I haven't played it for a little while.
Is it not just making you a bit sad and scared, though? I don't know if I'd like to play that at the moment.
No, I didn't actually realise the connection until I was working from home.
Right.
Because I started it last week.
Oh, okay.
And then when I was playing it this week, I thought, oh, man, there's a lot of, you know, well, how come they've got toilet roll? I don't understand. Yeah. It doesn't make
sense. When I say, does it not make you scared? I'm not suggesting to you or any of the listeners that that is actually where we're heading. And, you know.
No.
But, you know, it's easy to just think, oh, man, yeah, things aren't good, are they?
Went wrong.
Yeah.
It all went wrong for them. But, yeah, it's really good. I'm still sort of playing little chunks and making my way through it. I wanted to play it on the lead up to the sequel. I'm waiting for Doom and Animal Crossing and all the other stuff, I thought, might as well get it out of the way now.
Yeah.
Play it now and get it done. And that's it. That's what I played.
Excellent.
That's the thing, what I played.
Should we go to another question?
Yes, I suppose we should. This is from Brian Cahill, who says, with some time off, I decided to go back and play Ratchet & Clank. I was only one trophy short during my original playthrough years ago, and I finally got the platinum. Are there any platinum trophies that you got a significant amount of time... Sorry, what?
That you got?
You got a significant amount of time after your initial playthrough. Thank you. Thanks for all the content, even though, even through this strange time, Slán Ugas Banacht,
yeah,
which apparently is Irish for goodbye and best wishes. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Brian. I mean, I only have like 5 platinums, so, and I got 3 of them immediately, or I think I got all 5 of them immediately, actually.
Yeah.
What I can say, I should say that's all 3 Spyros I got like straight away, and then 2 of the 3 crashes, and the other one is, you know, the one I've been working on recently, but I've not gone back to for a while. Yeah. But although it's not an actual platinum, one thing that I can say, going back to a game I've already talked about today, back when Halo 1 wasn't the Combat Evolved anniversary and it was just Halo 1, I remember, I think a good year or two after the game had been out, me and my gamer uncle doing co-op legendary mode together. And that was a real challenge. I can't even remember if you actually got an Xbox achievement for doing it on co-op. I think maybe you did. I think you did. I don't think you had to do it solo. So we effectively, you know, got what I'm sure was probably our last achievement together, like 2 years later. But yeah, it's just not, it's not a PlayStation Platinum, but it's the same thing. I think it qualifies as an answer.
I agree.
Yeah, but that's about it for me. That's all I can think of anyway. But I'm sure you, Mr. Platinum Hunter, you probably got a lot to say here.
I've got one in particular that I was going to mention.
Right.
And that's Batman Arkham Asylum,
mm-hmm,
which I will never get the Platinum Trophy in, which is very sad.
Oh.
I just can't do it. I've got all of the other trophies apart from the Free Flow Combat Challenges, which are an absolute pain in the bottom anyway, because they're really hard.
Yeah.
And they're optional side stuff. They're not even part of the main game. And I think every Arkham game has them, with trophies or achievements attached. And the one I need is for getting 24 medals in Free Flow Combat Challenges, which I think is the equivalent of get maximum medals, get all the medals for the combat challenges. And I've got like the trophies preceding it, like get 12 of these trophies, get 12 of these medals, get such and such. And once I've got that, I then unlock a gold trophy for getting 100% of the game, and then I get the platinum trophy.
Right.
And that's all I need.
Yeah.
And it's really annoying. And actually, now that I mention it, Crash Team Racing as well is a platinum I will never get, because the last trophy I need is to beat all of the nitrous oxide times. And I'm just not going to do that, because that basically involves being a literal god.
Right.
And I can't do it. I don't have the time or the patience. It was hard enough to get the, what was the other guy called?
Entropy.
Yes, the entropy times, which were, you know, a pain. And then this guy is just, he extracts the Michael.
Oh, absolutely. It's no fun. Like before that game came out, I think I did think like, oh yeah, that'd be nice. I'd like to, you know, get a platinum in that game. You know, I've got all 3 Spyros. I'm working on all 3 crashes. Get the extra crash. You know, I've got my full Sony Computer Entertainment Platformer Remaster Mega Pack. Got them all, mate. But then the moment that game came out, I was like, nah, sorry, but no, it's not going to happen. It's just not.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I tell you what I actually did for Batman Arkham Knight, which is, which I did get the platinum in. Again, it was the free flow challenges. There was, in particular, a trophy where you had to do every single, maybe it wasn't every single, but it was like a certain amount of different moves in one combo.
Mm-hmm.
So you couldn't break your combo, but you had to do like, for argument's sake, let's say 20 different types of offense. That's different moves. That's environmental takedowns. That's all sorts without getting hit.
God.
And I could not do it. And in the end, I ended up putting out an appeal on the on the PlayStation podcast I was doing at the time, and just saying, can someone please help me with this?
Yeah.
And what I ended up doing is this Canadian guy called Tyler. I still remember his name. On PS4, you can do this this feature where people, it's called share play, where you can broadcast your game to one other person and they can take control of it and play it.
Yeah.
And this guy, over a really spotty internet connection, just went to town on this for me. And I watched it for a bit and then I just sort of lost interest and started looking at my phone until eventually I saw I'd got a message and I checked my notifications and I'd got that trophy and then the platinum. And
oh,
I transferred him, I bought him $20 Canadian worth of PlayStation Network credit as a thank you.
That's nice of you.
Yeah, but it's bod wallops, quite frankly. Some of these trophies, you know, it's not, I'm all for challenges and optional side stuff, but when you're attaching trophies to it, sometimes it's a bit of a, it's a bit of a pliss take, you know? It's not fun.
You're right.
So I feel that pain, but well done for going back and getting that platinum, Brian. I hope it brought you happiness.
Yeah. You could have got Tyler to do it for you, maybe, if you paid
could
him.
Could have got idiot.
I think you told me that you'd done that before. I don't think I knew, like, what the trophy was, or maybe even what the game was. I just knew that, like, in order to get a platinum once, you'd done that remote.
I paid someone to get it for me. Yeah, it's just at my wit's end. I'd done everything else in the game.
Sure.
Everything.
Yeah. Like, why not? Yeah.
And it's just like, really, you're gonna hold me up on this? I'm Batman. I've proven I'm Batman. Don't make me do all of this nonsense as well.
It's like the modern equivalent of getting your big brother to do it for you. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
Back when you're 8 years old and you can't do the last level of something, or yeah.
Just get Tyler to do it.
Yeah.
Tyler will help you out. Right. It's time to move on to a section that I realize requires paper. I'm gonna take some paper. Got it. I've got all sorts of weird notes on here.
I've got like an envelope here, which is, it might not really sound, I don't think the Foley is going to be good on this at all, actually. But
these are early Triple Jump and Vidiot's notes on here, actually.
Oh.
Can we still stream and podcast with Vidiot's is what this says.
Right.
Great. That's good to know, isn't it? There's just a whole page note here that says fridge.
Okay.
Good to know, right? Anyway, from strange thing to another, it's time for weird news.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It's time for weird news.
My paper
weird
didn't sound time. Very good, Ben. I'm sorry.
Mine didn't either. I feel like I was just banging bits of cardboard on the desk.
I just did them against my chest because I knew if I banged them on the desk, it would just make a horrible dun 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 noise like that through the mic.
I just straight up did that.
Yeah.
I hope everyone enjoyed it at home. Peter, what's your weird news?
I've got a weird news right here. This is, would you believe, not from one of our usual Kotaku Push Square or Polygon sites. This is from Screen Rant.
Oh, how okay. Exotic.
Here we go. Headline. No, GameStop didn't create a vaccine for coronavirus. Okay.
Okay.
This is by Philip Tinner. The subheading is, in a development that will surprise absolutely no one, GameStop has, in fact, not created a vaccine that will solve the global coronavirus pandemic. GameStop is the last organization anyone would expect to solve the coronavirus pandemic, and no, GameStop did not create a vaccine for the deadly disease. It's a rumor so outlandish that it almost goes without saying, but the used video game and geek culture retailer is not in the business of developing complex cures for contagions capable of grinding travel and everyday life as we know it to a near halt, nor should it ever be. This is a very dry article, isn't it?
Oh my goodness. It's anyone
really having a go at anyone who believed this. Anyone familiar with GameStop's deepening financial straits in recent years knows that its employees are far too busy struggling with the fallout caused by the digital games market's growing prevalence over physical sales of new and used games to worry about much else. Considering the immense strain COVID-19 and companies' growing efforts to slow its spread are putting on the world economy, GameStop is probably far too preoccupied with determining how to survive an extra fiscal quarter in the likely event of next-gen consoles being delayed to even consider synthesizing a breakthrough vaccine for which it has no experience, personnel, or infrastructure.
Jesus.
It's kind of just repeating itself over and over, isn't it? But I think we'll get to the source behind this rumour now.
Okay.
The hilariously preposterous rumour popped into existence when GameStop's corporate apparatus put out a press release meant to calm customers and shareholders, as all American companies have done since the nation's worst fears about COVID-19 proved true. The letter hits all the notes one would expect at this point, announcing that sanitation efforts will be undergone at every GameStop location, encouraging employees and customers to self-isolate if symptomatic, and assuring that the company is taking the pandemic seriously. Simple stuff, right? Judging by the below tweet from Dairy Orange, evidently not, as a questionable screenshot of an alleged Daily News article somehow took that simple statement to mean that GameStop has, quote, isolated the coronavirus, a crucial part of eventually developing a vaccine, to allow its customers to forever game on in peace.
Oh, my God.
So I will send you a link to this tweet. I saw this at the time, actually. Oh, it's the ugliest link in the world. It's got so much stuff after it. But as usual, this article will be in the video description on YouTube and stuff, so you guys can look at this too. But this is the tweet in question that caused the rumor. But it is just, it's a screenshot of a Daily News article saying that GameStop researchers say they've taken a key step towards the vaccine. And Dairy Orange put no effing way on Twitter and put the screenshot out, which got 42,000 likes and 7,500 retweets. So this is how things spread around.
How could anyone believe that for a second, though?
Well, I don't know. I guess apparently so. So we wrap up with the article here. Although the Daily News screenshot looks relatively convincing, it's either a fake or an ill-advised prank on the part of writer Joseph Wilkinson, but the former is most likely is the most likely bet. The article itself can't be found anywhere on the site, but a quick look at Wilkinson's Daily News author profile reveals no stories to have been published by him at the time in question on March 14th, let alone the laughably absurd one that the screenshot suggests.
Wow.
It continues a little bit more, but that's the nub of it. So there you go.
Brilliant. That's how I still don't understand how anyone. I know we're living in an age of misinformation, and especially at the moment when everyone's panicky. But it's just, why would you see that and think yes?
Yes, of course. Yes. Struggling game retailer are yes. trying to develop a vaccine for coronavirus. It's mad.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Okay, you ready for my weird news?
I sure am.
This is from Kotaku. Don't worry, we got him. It's from Ethan Gack. And I would quickly, before we even start with the title of this, I'd like to tell you what this article is filed under in Kotaku's sort of internal filing system. It's under coronavirus,
Oh,
Trump,
God.
White House, speedrun, and millennials.
This sounds like the best article ever written.
It's strange. It's not very long, but it's weird.
Let me put those keywords together and have a guess. I think Donald Trump is doing a speedrun, a sort of community, like maybe a LAN party speedrun party with a bunch of millennials all at the White House because they're in lockdown over coronavirus. I think that's what's happening.
You're bang on.
Yeah,
bang on.
That's it.
Absolutely bang on. As this is very much a case of how do you do fellow kids, it seems,
right.
As you will see. White House doctor, we need millennials to stay healthy because they know how to speedrun video games.
What?
Yeah. During today's White House press conference, the Trump administration's coronavirus task force response coordinator, God, that went on further than I was expecting,
yeah.
Dr. Deborah Brix, called on millennials to take the threat of infection more seriously.
Deborah Brix?
Deborah Brix. Deborah Brix. No, Burks. God, good thing you stopped me.
Oh, God, okay. I've never heard of someone called Brix before. It's like a Roald Dahl surname.
Yeah,
Charlie Bucket.
B-R-I-X, but it's B-I-R-X, which is still an unusual surname I've never seen before.
God, that is weird, yeah, with an X.
Dr. Deborah Birx, thank you, called on millennials to take the threat of infection more seriously. Why? Because they are part of the group that brought us innovation, particularly throughout all of their ability to look around corners and skip through games, is the quote.
What? What does that even mean?
I always went level by level, Burke said. I didn't realise you could go from level 3 to level 7. That's what they've taught us. They look for things that we don't see. We need them to be healthy.
What?
It's unclear which game Burks was talking about, maybe Super Mario Bros. 3. The remark came after she cited unspecified reports out of France and Italy that many young people have fallen seriously ill due to coronavirus. She went on to speculate that this may be the result of younger people thinking the virus is only dangerous to older people and those with pre-existing medical conditions. Apparently, millennials' innovative approach to gaming doesn't translate to employing proper social distancing measures. Seriously, everyone, keep your distance to help slow the spread of the disease.
Mm. Yeah.
So basically what she's saying is young people are important. You guys need to take this seriously because you might get ill as well. And the way she's gone about that is by saying, hey, you learned how to speedrun. You have value, right?
I don't understand how...
It doesn't make sense.
Deborah thinks that that is going to contribute to post-COVID-19 society, though. Like, I mean, at least if she'd said, hey, look, we need these gamers to pull through because actually they can be really helpful in doing that protein unwrapping stuff or whatever it was, you know, that thing that they do,
protein folding,
you know, at least if she'd said that, I could see the logical step there. But she's saying, look guys, please don't die on us, we need you, you can get from level 3 to level 11 like in one go. Help.
What was the, let me just get the quote up here. I always went level by level, didn't realize you could go from level 3 to level 7. That's what they've taught us, is what it says.
It's unclear what game she was talking about, possibly Super Mario Brothers 3 or whatever.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yep. Excellent. Well, there we go. That was my weird news. Obviously, there's a theme this week, as you might imagine, and that theme may well continue.
Yeah.
We'll see. No idea how long this is going to last.
Yeah.
Right. Next question, Peter.
Yes. Let me pull it up. It is right here. This is from Pim Van Barsen. Good name.
Yes.
Back in the PS3 days, there was a card-based strategy game called The Eye of Judgment. Me and some fellow... Here you go, Ben. Oh, I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that.
What's wrong?
Are you reading along with me?
Yeah, I see it.
Do you want me to restart the sentence and then just pause at that moment?
I will. I'll back up a little bit. Back up, Ter.
Yeah, you ready?
Yeah.
Everyone listening is going to be super confused as to what this weird stumbling block is, but I'll start again.
It's important.
Back in the PS3 days, there was a card-based strategy game called The Eye of Judgment. Me and some fellow...
Nerds!
Brilliant. Created a little online community where we organised matches, tournaments and friendly chat and the like. We were all having a jolly nice time with it when one day Sony switched off the servers and killed the whole thing stone dead as we couldn't play online anymore. I appreciate there is commercial reality with all these things, but I'm sure we would have happily paid to keep it going, but that option was never there. What's your take on such a situation, and have you ever had anything similar where you really wished you could have kept playing a game for just a little longer, but just couldn't? Stay safe and stay classy.
You stay classy, Pim.
Yeah, you stay classy, Pim.
You bloody stay classy. You watch your back. How classy you're being. So my neighbours are going to be very confused.
Yeah, I did wonder. Yeah, that was a brave level of nerd there.
Yeah, maybe I was calling for help. Who knows? Maybe I'll run out of toilet roll.
Yeah. I think we actually touched on this a little bit in the last episode, or possibly the one before that. I feel like recently
we've
talked about like servers being shut down and stuff. I haven't personally been like affected by it, in that I think pretty much every multiplayer game that I've been keen on, I've kind of stopped playing before the servers ended up being shut down. So I've not had that personally, but I'm aware of a few things that, as I said when we talked about it previously, you know, you've got the likes of RuneScape Classic, Star Wars Jedi Academy has an amazing mod and a bunch of community-based servers called, I want to say War Games, or I might be making that up entirely. It might be nothing like that at all. I'll look it
War
up.
War Games.
You know, there's the great thing is that out there are some community-based, community-run servers for things, even for games that have absolutely no remaining official servers out there. And I do remember a story as well of when Halo 2 was being shut down, which is a game that was sort of had a massive online community. Can you still hear me, by the way?
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I accidentally opened Photoshop by accident, and my computer was chugging a little bit, and I was like, shit.
Yeah. These things happen. It's okay.
You'll have to just... Oh, you're going to leave this in, are you?
It's, why not?
Okay.
I don't know how I'd find it. It's impossible.
It's impossible. Okay, I'll carry on. That's why I sort of hesitated there. Anyway, I'll carry on. So Halo 2 had a massive online community for multiplayer, and when Bungie finally announced they were shutting down the servers, they sort of said what day they were doing it, and loads of people got together and played loads of games, and it was supposed to shut down until midnight. And there are these articles online, I don't have one handy, but about how people carried on playing, the servers stayed open just like a few more hours, like as the last few people just slowly disconnected. And I think I even read something about like the single last man who was ever in like a Halo game, like he was left on his own, and then the whole thing just got shut down. That might have been a different game actually, but yeah, I remember reading something.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
You are right. I think that was in one of the first lists we did.
Right.
Right back at the start of last year. Yeah, there was for some reason it stayed online, didn't it?
Yeah.
Even as long as people were playing it, it was still technically active, and there was just this last guy, and I think he got a beta code for Halo Reach or something.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
When they shut it down.
So they kept it going for a while because people just sort of stayed in. And, you know, that's kind of a nice... It's a nice story in a way that, you know, they carried on. But
yeah, it is good.
Yeah, have you ever had a game shut down on you?
Well, unfortunately, being a lifelong Sony fan, especially being there throughout the PS3 era, Sony have a real habit of just switching off servers on games.
Yeah.
A lot of, almost every, in fact, I'm fairly sure, I mean, someone can correct me, but I'm fairly sure every single server-based PS3 game pretty much that was exclusive has been shut down now. Warhawk was obviously an early PSN game that a lot of people really enjoyed, and that was... I think that's still limping on at the moment because you can host your own servers.
Mm-hmm.
The big one for me was Demon's Souls.
Oh, yeah.
Now, there may have been method in the madness because they might have known that actually they were going to remake it at that point on PS4, which is, you know, looking more and more likely, or at least for PS5 now. But Demon's Souls is such a loss because it's such a seminal game.
Mm.
For this whole genre that's, you know, millions of people love, and it's so unlike anything else, with Dark Souls and Bloodborne and the like.
Yeah.
And, you know, now there's Neo and all these other games that are sort of spinning off it. And it's it all started with Demon's Souls. And you can still play it, but it's just nowhere near as special.
Yeah.
Without having that innovative player interaction that nobody had ever seen before. You know, the weird, awkward summoning. Back then, you couldn't set passwords, so you just had to put your sign down on the floor somewhere and hope that your friend would see it before someone else would.
Yeah.
And it was all weird, and you got invaded, and you put notes on the floor, and then they turned off the servers at the beginning of 2018. And it was really sad. It's a real shame. And from what I understand, people have found a way to keep the servers alive if you modify your network settings on your PS3 so that you're on like a specific MAC address or something like that. Then you're able to... There's some sort of black magic you can do, basically, to still have access to online functionality in Demon's Souls just with the people who are using the same strategy you are.
Right.
But hopefully we'll be getting Demon's Souls remake very soon. Mm. I know it's becoming so rumored that it's practically truth, but as we'll talk about in the big discussion about Sony's PS5 deep dive, there was actually in one of the graphics they showed, there was a rendering of the Bulletaria Palace from Demon's Souls in there, which, I mean, I don't know how much more confirmation we really need at this point that it's going to happen, but that's that was nice to see.
I love things like that, where you're able to break down, you know, something that to some people will have just been completely, you know, meaningless. But, you know,
yeah, it's a castle, isn't it?
To people who know, they're like, oh, I know what that is. I know what that means.
That's the Bulletaria Castle,
yeah,
with the big slug man inside. That's where the slug man lives.
The sludge boy.
Love the sludge boys. My favorite demon soul.
Yeah.
But yeah, it sucks. It sucks when things get shut down like that. Eye of Judgment is a... I don't know if you ever played that, Peter, but that was a real early gambit from Sony to try new and interesting things on PS3.
Right.
It's an AR card game.
I'm aware of it, but no.
We got sent one of Idiots. We never opened it.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
We had it on the shelf for ages.
Yeah.
We never got around to using it, but that's the camera that I'm using now to stream with. So that's good.
Oh, no. Okay. That's good.
No other real experience with servers being turned off, but it is a shame when it happens.
I've just looked up the Jedi Academy mod. It's not called War Games, it's called Movie Duels. But, you know,
Movie
there we go.
Movie Duels.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, fortunately, I've not been stung too much by that, but only because I guess I just move on. I'm a rover. So I'm already gone by the time my favorite games have been switched off. So
I suppose so. That and you did the majority of your multiplayer gaming, it seems, on Xbox, and they're much better about keeping their servers on, apart from Halo 2, it would seem.
Yeah. Incidentally, that's the one game that I didn't really play much multiplayer of, despite it being highly acclaimed by the fan base. But Halo 3, I just played to absolute death online. Yeah. I had so many good nights playing that, but... Yeah,
I remember when that game came out.
Yeah?
Yeah. I never played it, never had an Xbox, but it was my friend's birthday, and we went into town, and he used his birthday money to buy one of those Halo 3 Xbox 360s with like, the green and gold trim on it.
Ooh,
and stuff.
Lovely.
I took it back to his house, and it was very exciting.
Yeah.
And I played maybe 10 minutes of Halo 3 co-op campaign because he had several friends over, and we all wanted to go. And that was pretty much it.
They had Halo 3, and I think Halo 2 as well, question mark. No, I don't think actually Halo 2. Anyway, Halo 3 certainly had Forge mode, which is where you're able to put down items and like bits of scenery into multiplayer maps in like a kind of level creator style. And one of the levels was essentially just a giant empty room. So you could effectively use that as a blank canvas and make... like your own maps entirely by putting walls up and you know, vehicles and like little gravity lifts and stuff. It was really cool. So that you know, I had a lot of fun with that alone, and you know, even without playing anything online and having matches. But yeah, there was a lot to go at with that game, and it was a good campaign too. So as I say, I'm looking forward to it being re-released on Steam.
Excellent. And you'll stream it when it comes out.
I'm sure I will. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Right. It's time to move on.
It is.
I put my paper away. You know what? I'll just use this plasticky packet. That'll do.
Yeah, I've got a little
It's time to move on.
Card here.
to a huge, monstrous section that we call a big discussion.
Oh, that was a really bad one.
It's big discussion time. Mm-hmm. Big discussion time. Big discussion time. We turn to Chav Rammels.
We certainly do. Chav Rammels says... Oh, and Stephen Scodes also asked something similar, apparently. We've got on a note
yes.
here. But Chav Rammels says, is Sony handling the PS5 all wrong? Mark Cerny got on stage and basically gave his GDC presentation. It was fine for what it was, but Sony set this up similar to a state of play, premiering it on YouTube and everything. I felt that Sony should have waited until they were able to reveal the console and some games before giving this presentation. All that being said, I was one of the few people who found the presentation interesting while not being a developer. What is wrong with me? Discuss. So,
did you watch it?
I didn't watch it at the time. I've read up after the fact. I think, like, the main point, really, that, like, the most crucial thing to remember with this is that, yeah, it was essentially his GDC presentation. So, GDC was cancelled, right? Or was it cancelled, or did Sony just choose not to go? Yeah, it was cancelled.
Yeah, it was cancelled.
Yeah, for coronavirus. And GDC, for those who don't know, stands for Game Developer Conference, right? Mm-hmm. So, it's not a customer-facing convention, conference. It really is where a bunch of developers get together. They all go and, you know, listen to the likes of console specs and, you know, I mean, I don't know what they do, nerdy stuff probably about coding and stuff like that. Ooh, gross.
Yeah.
But the whole point of this was, you know, they were giving a presentation that was always tailored towards developers who are going to have more interest in tech specs and the likes of the things that we were shown at that presentation. And so putting it out publicly like that, I'm not saying they shouldn't have done it, but yeah, the problem is that when they said, oh, we're going to do a presentation, I think people did just think it's going to be the kind of public reveal, the proper reveal of the PS5. And they went in not really realizing that, no, this really is just the presentation we were going to give to a bunch of devs, and we're just happening to do it publicly now, like sort of online. So that's the main sort of issue here with people. I think it's about expectations, isn't it? People went in with the wrong expectations. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
definitely. It's as you said, you know, GDC is for the sharing of ideas and giving talks, and as well as, you know, developers trying to find publishers for their games and stuff. So it's a very industry driven event, not necessarily a press event.
Mm.
And it's not really, you know, news does come out of GDC, but it's never usually anything substantial.
No.
This was definitely a talk worth paying attention to.
Mm.
Purely because they talked about all the specs of the PS5 and how and why they chose to construct it the way it was constructed. However, what was wrong here was their messaging.
Mm-hmm.
Completely wrong, because the vast majority of people were under the impression that, as you said, this was the reveal event. This was them finally breaking the silence and talking about PS5 and showing it off and, you know, with some glitz and some glamour. And you could tell immediately as soon as it started, and it was just a sort of unpolished, timid, what's his name? Not Mark Cerny, the other guy. I keep wanting to say Andrew Ryan, but that's not right. His last name is Ryan.
Yeah, hang on.
Played a lot of Bioshock recently.
Is it Jim Ryan?
Thank you. Yeah, Jim Ryan was stood there just sort of addressing no one in particular, saying, and then as soon as he said the words, our GDC talk was cancelled, but we had a lot of stuff we wanted to talk about, so this is why we're here.
Mm.
I'm going to pass over to Mark Cerny now. I was like, oh no, this isn't what we thought. And the entire YouTube chat was just, they were just screaming the whole time. All the comments beforehand were like, I'm ready, I'm so excited.
Mm.
You know, I've been waiting for this day for ages, and this is Sony's fault.
Yeah,
because they did not make it clear that this was not going to be about, you know,
the glitz and the glamour of the PS5, where you can get one, when you can get one, how much you can get one for. This is what it's going to look like. I'm fairly sure they also said that they're going to be talking about the games as well.
Yeah, I thought I heard that. Yeah.
That was certainly something I heard. Mm. And I don't know if it was from press sites who...
misconstrued.
Or news outlets that got the wrong end of the stick as well, or if, again, it was just Sony's messaging completely wrong. But the way they built this up and hyped it up, they did nothing to correct anybody on the lead up to it that, oh, no, wait, hang on, guys. You know, this isn't a reveal event. This is just, you know, this is a dev talk. This is us talking about the specs. Mm. And so people were, Mark Cerny, the sort of grandfather of designing PlayStations. He's been around since the 90s. He's worked on all of your favorite games and Knack. And people were just calling him Boomer. Have you ever seen people yell Boomer at Mark Cerny before?
Yeah.
It was the most surreal, weird thing to watch. People were just typing like loads of Zs.
Yeah, I've got that here. I've got a tweet from... I mean, there's lots of this around the internet, but it's embedded in an article that I'm reading from Daniel Armad at ZHugeEX on Twitter. And he's just put, live comments on the PS5 video are brutal. And then it's just a screenshot of the chat. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Out of 11 comments, I think 10 of them or 9 of them are just strings of Zs.
Yeah.
People were just... Zedding the whole chat.
I get it. Like, I get people were annoyed. It does. It rustles my jimmies somewhat because my Jim Ryans. Yeah. Purely because how childish are you, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was disappointing that it wasn't that, but to stick around and just go boring show games when it's clear that they're not able to hear you or see you. It's clear this has been like pre-recorded as well.
And even if they, you know, if they were able to see you and hear you from the stage, they're not going to go, oh, well, we hadn't planned to show games, but quickly let's rush some game trailers out.
Yeah, get God of War 9 out.
People are saying they want to see God of War 53, so play it.
God, it's just, yeah, it was a very childish response, but Sony, like, they had to know, right? This is awful.
Yeah.
This is how they chose to break the silence about PS5. They hyped it up. They didn't explain clearly what it was. People understandably got the wrong end of the stick. We all did. People reacted better than others, but I don't think many people were going into this thinking, okay, this is a GDC talk.
Mm.
Because if you just see the tweet, if you just see the news article saying, there's going to be a PlayStation 5 deep dive at 4 p.m. tomorrow. You're like, oh, amazing. I can't wait to hear about PS5. But it was very dry, very serious talk about how the PS5 was put together.
And
that's fine.
You know, 700,000 people tuned into it, apparently, which is a lot of people. And the worst thing about it is that, for the most part, it essentially seems that they've just announced that they're going to be falling short hardware-wise from the Xbox Series X. I think performance-wise, you know, there's going to be like, it's not quite as impressive as the Xbox Series X. Now, I'm sure it'll still be a very good console, so, you know, does it really matter? I still think it's an exclusives competition, really, more than anything else. As long as all the exclusives work well, I'm still going to go to the console that has the best exclusives. So... you know,
definitely.
But so all the really achieved was disappointing. Not 700,000 people. Some of those will have been devs, but a lot of people were very disappointed. And then they said, "Oh yeah," and effectively the performance isn't going to be as good as our competitor. So,
from what I understand, that might not be the case. To be fair,
okay, good.
We'll put a link in the dump about breaking down the stats and stuff. I think Digital Foundry did a thing. There are certainly aspects that the Xbox, you know, just looking at the numbers, the Xbox has higher numbers than the PlayStation. But you know, it seems that the purpose of this 50-minute talk, if anyone was able to pay true attention to it, because I'm going to be honest, I watched half an hour of it and then I stopped.
Yeah.
But my friend who actually understands and pays attention to this kind of stuff explained it to me afterwards. It sounds like that what they were explaining is the way that they've put the PS5 together, because it's made up of parts that aren't sort of just, you know, bought off store shelves, essentially.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
It sounds like what a fair amount of the Xbox Series X is. Because of the way that they've put it together, it means that they may actually get either a comparable or superior performance in certain aspects. So...
as you said, ultimately, even if it was not as strong, it is all about the games, mm-hmm. and that's the most exciting thing. But I don't think you're going to see much of a difference. Like, just like now, like, you're not going to see much of a performance difference.
Yeah.
People are saying, oh, we've got the world... Xbox say they've got the world's most powerful console. And it's like, well, that's great. But you put it side by side with a PS4 running the same game, I'm willing to bet money that I'm not going to be able to tell the difference.
Yeah, well, as I say, you know, as long as everything is just... as long as it's capable of running the same kind of games, then I'm still just going to follow the exclusives, which, you know, at the moment, unless there's some amazing reveals before November, means I'm just going to stick with PlayStation because, you know, they always have the best exclusives, really, so...
They have. And, you know, here's hoping that all of the studios that Xbox have bought and Microsoft have bought will create some healthy competition because God knows Sony needs a push, because this was a real flip up, this one.
Yeah.
This wasn't good. This isn't good. People are really excited for PlayStation 5 news, and this is what they broke the silence with. They didn't communicate it well. People were pissed off, and now they're on the back foot.
Yeah.
You know, people are mad at them. And they need to fix that. This is, I don't know really what they're waiting for at this point.
Yeah. One good thing to come out of it is confirmation that I believe pretty much all the major PS4 games are supposed to be able to run on a PS5 at launch. So, you know, we've certainly got backwards compatibility for all your major PS4 games. And I saw a headline, and I've not read the article yet, about how it said something like, so take this with a massive pinch of salt, I'm trying to find it right now, that the PS5 will have backwards compatibility, it won't be able to necessarily play everything at launch, you know, they're going to do it like essentially on a game-by-game basis to just see what it can and can't run. But, you know, I think we're stepping even further, as we seem to every month, towards full confirmation that the PS5 will have hopefully a bigger back catalogue than just the PS4. Trying to find this article right now, but that's what I've seen and heard.
That'd be really nice, because that also annoyed people. That they said that, hey, that at least the top 100 most played PS4 games will be backwards compatible on PS5. People said, well, hang on, you said it was going to be backwards compatible full stop.
Yeah.
Why is it now just some and not all? So people are mad at them. People are very angry with them. And, you know, I'm not saying that people shouldn't be angry with them. I would say that there are bigger things to be worried about. And I will say that there are also things that PlayStation could have done to mitigate this for certain. But it's a weird time. And when you say you've got this, you know, a big live streamed talk happening about this console everyone's excited for, and that's what you put out, you were going to annoy a lot of people.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what they did.
Mm-hmm. I found it here. I think it was actually just referring to the PS4 games themselves. I think, you know, it's going to be case by case for PS4 backwards compatibility. It says here that Sony did not say if, like Microsoft, Sony planned to extend PS5's backwards compatibility to games from older PlayStation consoles. Many PS3 games and a handful of PS2 ones are currently available on the company's PlayStation Now streaming service, although that is different from backwards compatibility. So actually, I don't think we're any closer to knowing if we're getting PS3 or earlier backwards compatibility, but as far as PS4 is concerned, yeah, there's going to be a big chunk of them that are going to be playable at launch, and then I think the others are going to be sort of case by case. They're going to just try and slowly make other ones playable if they're not already.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Oh dear. See, I feel like they would have talked about it here.
Mm.
That's exactly the kind of thing that if they were breaking down how the console was constructed, I feel like this would have been the time to mention that. And especially as they were talking about PS4 backwards compatibility being somewhat limited now. You know, now would have been the time to mention it, and they didn't. So I wouldn't get your hopes up.
No, actually.
Which is, again, another shame.
Yeah.
Another shame.
Yeah, it seems to be a step back, actually, rather than a step forward. Because we have, as I say, we've been drip-fed little bits of rumours and info saying, oh, it might actually be completely backwards compatible. You know, it's looking good. But as you say, you know, they would have mentioned it here, and I thought they had done, but now that I found the article and actually read it, no, they didn't. So that's not, it's not promising.
Oh dear. Well, we will see what happens. I mean, I don't know how much worse that could have gone for them, really.
Yeah.
There was a lot of excitement going into it, and now there's a lot of anger coming out of it. So they need to do something. They need to do something soon.
I'll tell you how it could have gone worse. Is if they had revealed what the PlayStation had looked like, and it had been, and it had looked just like that horrible dev kit that
the prototype,
circulating on the internet. Which, you know, I'm fine with that looking the way it does. If that's all it is, you know, it's the prototype for developers to work on. But Christ, it better not look anything like that, or I will be sick on it. I will buy one. I'll be sick on it, and I'll put it in the bin.
Yeah, throw it away. Yeah, that'll show.
Be wasteful.
Yeah. Well, there we go. That wasn't good, was it?
No.
But let us know what you thought of that in the comments and so on. Mm-hmm. I did a tweet about it, and people were saying, you know, they should have communicated it better. I didn't care about any of that. I just wanted to see the games. Just tell me how much I have to spend.
Boomer.
You know, all that kind of stuff. It's just like, what a, what an internet reaction to something that they weren't expecting.
Yeah.
It is PlayStation's fault, though, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you wanted to tell us a little bit more about how you were feeling, and you couldn't necessarily fit it in a comment, but I think you can because you can type a lot in comments, but, you know, whatever. If you just wanted to find us elsewhere, Peter, where can they do that?
They can do that pretty much everywhere at Team Triple Jump. Our content goes out on youtube.com and twitch.tv/Team Triple Jump. When we're streaming on Twitch and YouTube, but at the moment we're just streaming on Twitch, we are moderated by Lord Brotovich and Cecil Prumps. Thank you, guys. You're doing a great job. Our social media is twitter.com and facebook.com/Team Triple Jump. Facebook is looked after by Luke Eldon. Thank you, Luke Eldon. You're also doing a great job. We got a Patreon, patreon.com/Team Triple Jump. All kinds of rewards there, such as early Worst Games Ever releases, access to an exclusive room in our Discord, which incidentally is bit.ly/Team Triple Jump, moderated by Jack, Joe, and Crimson Dragonfly. But we've got other Patreon rewards too. You should check them out, see what you fancy. The podcast is available in audio form, because the video form currently is just so stellar. play.acast.com/s/triple jump. But you'll find it on Spotify, etc. And finally, we've got a website, triplej.merp, where we've got a shop and all kinds of things on there.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Did you know that we do lists every Tuesday and Thursday?
Yeah.
Streams every Monday, Tuesday and Thursday, and probably a few other days. We'll announce them on social media as and when, all on Twitch. Worst Games. That's a fortnightly show we do. Friday for patrons of a certain tier, Sunday for everyone else. It's a Worst Games Ever week. There will be a Worst Games Ever on Sunday. And Friday for $5 patrons.
Yeah.
Podcast is every Saturday, and we try to do shows every now and then. You know, we've got a couple recorded, but we're sort of on the back foot now because we can't really record those separately. So those will go out when relevant. But once we've exhausted those, then obviously they will be taking a little break for a while. I think we've got an episode of Main Menu and an episode of Rules Boss recorded. So we've still got those to go out in the near future.
Yeah.
But after that, same with Worst Games Ever. We've got a couple of Worst Games in the bank. But once that is exhausted, then we're going to have to look into how we're going to do that from home, which may not be as possible.
Yeah, I think there might be some workarounds. There's like potential. I mean, you know, one option is like maybe actually doing solo Worst Games Ever and just record it. But, you know, that, you know, you lose a dynamic there. But, you know, Rules Boss might be able to, might be doable over, just, you know, meet, we can be on Discord with each other and maybe play in a multiplayer game together. There are things we can look at. So there will be, I think, substitute content, but just maybe in a different form, maybe a different frequency. Just keep an eye on everything.
Yes, yeah. Please do. Please do. Finally, please leave us a review on iTunes or your platform of choice. It helps something to do with Al Gore's rhythms. And I think that's all. We're going to be streaming a bit more often.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, we'll announce as and when we do that. And we'll hopefully see as many of you there as possible. Twitch.tv/TeamTripleJump is where you can find us. Finally, it's time to talk about the sponsor for this week, which is Aperture Laboratories Alcoholic Hand Gel. If you want a bottle, I know they're very popular at the moment. They're difficult to find. All you need to do is just complete a couple of test chambers. Just a couple of test chambers.
Yeah.
And you too can have some alcoholic hand gel at the end, baked into a delicious boo cake. All for you.
Oh, no, I don't want that.
Well, you know, it's science.
Oh,
that's
okay.
How it works.
That's fine.
It's a science boo cake.
The boo cake is a lie. It's a boo lie. The boo cake is a boo lie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Right, we're going to go now. Please look after yourselves.
Yeah.
And we'll be back next week.
We will.
Take care, everybody.
Yeah, see you later.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.